Brisk ends during the day on Saturday. Temperatures over the weekend will be back in the 60s. In fact, I think the nicest day will be Sunday with plenty of sun. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
The following is a paid program by Earnest Financial. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
You're listening to the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
The following program contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
Time for the legal disclaimer. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives before implementation. So there. It'll be here before you know it. The Health and Wealth Christmas Blowout, sponsored in part by Earnest Financial, LLC. Saturday, December 21st, 3 p.m. till 6 p.m. at 2754 Bell Road. Lots of fun for everyone, and it's all free. We'll have face painting from Sweet Cheeks and Treats, Young Elvis, Santa Claus, everybody's all-time favorite bouncy houses, and John David presents clay creations from Five Nights at Freddy's. All you have to do is show up and have a good time. It's the Health and Wealth Christmas Blowout at 2754 Bell Road, 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. on the Saturday before Christmas, December 21st. For more information, call David Earnest at 279-7431 or listen to the Health and Wealth Show each weekday evening from 6 until 7 on News Talk 93.1. Now, with breaking news from the Health and Wealth News Desk, here's Ace Reporter, David Earnest.
Hello, everyone. David is not in on this one. This one's all on me. It's a special thing for this evening. We've got a great interview. You won't believe who's here. No, you won't. I've got to tell you. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hello, Arnold.
Hello, cutie pie.
Arnold, we are so happy to have you here.
Nice to meet you.
And nice to meet you, sir. Now, Arnold, you know David Earnest, and you know that you can call him at 279-7431. And he'll take a look at your portfolio and try to help you with your finances, set up your retirement. But did you know that there are some people who still haven't called him?
Don't be ridiculous.
It's true.
The most important thing is money.
That's right. And you know the best way to make money, right?
The casinos make billions.
Well, that's not exactly the answer I had in mind.
We can fix this mess.
Yes, we can. By calling David Earnest, 279-7431.
Yeah.
So if your financial situation is looking a little grim,
stop whining.
Yes, stop whining and call David Earnest today. 279-7431. We're about out of time for this segment. Arnold, do you have any final words?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Well, that would be where you call David at 279-7431.
Are you going to help me now or not?
Well, it's not that I don't want to help you. David's the one with all the smarts. Call him at 279-7431. He'll help you. I'm just not the one you need to talk to.
Why not?
Because for everything to turn out right, you need to talk to David Earnest, okay?
I'll be back.
It seems to me that the last time I heard him say that, everything went downhill from there. That's all the time we have for this segment. Call David Earnest, 279-7431.
Do it now.
You heard the man. Do it now. Hear that sound? You know what that means. Every year about this time, the Salvation Army is taking it to the streets, ringing the bell and asking you to come fill up the red kettle. The money you donate goes to help some folks in the river region that might not have a Merry Christmas. And bell ringers are needed. Call Lieutenant Brian Farrington, 334-265-0281, and he'll tell you how you can help the Salvation Army this Christmas season. Call 334-265-0281. Become a volunteer bell ringer today. Hey, yeah. You know that fella over there?
No, but his face rings a bell.
Call the Salvation Army, 334-265-0281.
our super secret studios. So secret that I forgot what I was going to say. Actually, they're in an old Waffle House somewhere.
Ooh. You know what I want?
Yeah, you love the Waffle House.
Yeah.
It's the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Sit right back for the next, oh, I don't know. Yeah, we're going to talk about money for about the next 53 minutes here. We're going to talk about your money.
That's right.
How you can hang on to it.
Yes, there's been some very interesting things that's been going on today.
Yeah.
And when this show rebroadcasts, maybe it'll still make sense then. But right now, you know what I am talking about. Somebody got caught. And it wasn't in a rat trap. I bet they wished it was. And, you know, you talk about the elf on the shelf heard it. Just think about it. If something got caught in a rat trap, and it was a dirty rat at that.
Really?
Yes.
You dirty rat.
We're talking about what's happened today in the political arena. We know that Michael Hartowitz found evidence that an FBI lawyer manipulated. Can you believe an FBI lawyer manipulated a key investigative document related to, get this, secret surveillance? I've complained over and over and over about them wanting to know where everything is. They want to know where your money is. Now they want to know where Trump's supporters are so they can stop us.
And, of course, this whole thing, they had a real snazzy name for it.
What's that? It's
Operation Crossfire Hurricane.
Yeah, that's weird.
I can't believe I hadn't heard this.
I'm telling you, it's all crazy. All of it.
Of course, that's from the lyrics of Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Maybe they had Mick Jagger looking into this, too. You know?
Has it got big lips?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's him. You know, I saw him in person.
Did it hurt?
It was interesting, to say the least. His lips really are big. I mean, he's a phenomenal singer. But he walked out on this ledge right close to us. And, you know, everybody started lighting up this stuff that was real smoky. And they were passing it around.
Surely not.
Yes, they were passing it around. And I bet you there were some Democrats passing it to the Republicans. And they weren't trying to do each other in. There was people around that could have arrested all of them for that smokiness, but they worked together. That was in the good old days. What's gone wrong? They don't want to listen to Jumpin' Jack Flash anymore. All they want to do now is just stick a knife in their back and no more smoky things. What's going on? What's happening to this world?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to listen to some stuff, now wait a minute. Help me out here. You showed it to me. What was the guy's name? The lawyer.
Oh.
Oh, that's
going to be a trivia question.
Oh, then never mind.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go ahead and throw that out there. The trivia question is: What lawyer are they going to investigate for what I just talked about, the Hartowitz, where they manipulated the information on a document, which actually caused the whole trouble to start with, really. Mm-hmm. If they hadn't have done that, it would have died right there. I'm not an attorney, but based on what I have heard, it probably would have died right there because they didn't have anything. So what did they do? They made up something. They made it up.
They just made stuff up.
I know it. And so that's bad. They didn't pass them a doobie. They just passed them a dobie.
A dopey doobie. Well, now, I've got some sound here, and we might want to throw some of this out there.
Okay.
And this is Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, he's good.
Talking to Mr. Hurwitz.
You know, I like that guy even more after today.
Oh, yeah.
I was impressed.
But this is where he talks about those things. And we have some stuff from Ted Cruz, and he really gets into it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hit this.
In other words, Trump would be proud of him, even though he has small hands.
Oh, yeah. So. Okay. Well, he had their hands on it today. This is Lindsey Graham, what's the first name for Mr. Hurwitz? I don't remember it. It doesn't matter right now. But here it is.
That is what they base their decisions on.
Thank you.
Senator Graham.
Would you say that this investigation was done by the book?
hard to say what by the book is.
Well, who wrote this book? It was done by the book. Who wrote it?
I think there are reasons to raise questions on certain of these steps and decisions.
I think you did a good job, but the whole idea that this is normal, folks, there's nothing here normal. I don't want you to think the FBI does this day in and day out. This is not normal.
See, he's been around a while.
Oh, he's smart.
He knows what the FBI is supposed to do. As a matter of fact,
right?
He tried to get in the FBI.
Really? And I didn't know that.
But he got turned down.
He did.
So here's a little bit more.
Okay.
Now, I think that's what you tried to find.
Yeah.
Do you believe it's pretty clear to everybody in the country by July the 5th that Donald Trump was the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party?
2016.
That's my recollection. And from the text,
the
it's pretty clear.
On the 18th. Yeah.
Right. And the texts, I think, reflect that as well.
Okay, I'm going to read this text message from Paige DeStrock on August the 8th, after he'd gotten the nomination. She says, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? Strzok responded, no, no, he's not. We'll stop it. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. That's pretty unnerving. Strzok, wasn't he the lead investigator of the Clinton email investigation?
Uh-huh. He was, in essence, the lead investigator.
Okay, yeah. So the head guy looking at Clinton on August the 8th says, we got to stop Trump. Now, was that just idle talk? A week later, here's what they say to each other. Strzok, text message to Lisa Page. I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. Now, that's a week later. Who's Andy?
Our understanding, it was Andy McCabe, the deputy director.
Now, how about that?
How about them?
How about that?
Funny they said insurance policy. You know? Uh-huh. I mean, I thought about that when they said that. Man, they were choosing the wrong company.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in the wrong company. And that's when you're buying insurance, you want to make sure you choose the right company, uh-huh. Not the wrong company. You don't want to be in the wrong company of people who can help you choose the right insurance. Obviously, and the backside of it now, they probably wish they had been in a different room altogether. Because now, it's obvious.
The thing is, this guy is supposed to be checking out Hillary for her emails. He's supposed to be investigating her.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he's playing footsie with this lady.
Oh,
sending these emails.
Obviously, it must have been more than footsie going on.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to get too
okay.
graphic or anything. But he's supposed to be checking out Hillary to see if she needs to go to jail. And he's busy trying to stop Donald Trump from getting elected. I said 2016. I believe they were talking about July of 2015. And then
like a big conflict of interest to
me.
Yes. Yes,
now,
big conflict
I've
of interest.
I've got some more Lindsey Graham here, and they do talk more about Andy, and it wasn't Andy Griffith either.
So, deputy director meeting with the lead investigator of the Clinton email investigation, and Miss Page, who's involved somehow, meeting in Andy's office discussing taking out an insurance policy to make sure Donald Trump doesn't become president? Is that what you're telling us?
I'll be clear. I can't speak to whether Mr. McCabe was there or not.
Did you ask Mr. McCabe?
We did. He said he was not. He did not recall.
So one of them's lying.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
So I want you to reopen this investigation and come back and tell us, do you believe Strzok? Or do you believe McCabe? Because you just told me the deputy director of the FBI says he's not the Andy.
Oh, he does. Just to be clear, they're talking about a conversation in his office.
Yeah.
He's claiming, he is stating he does not recall whether he was there or not. And neither of those individuals are putting him in the middle of their conversation.
All I'm saying is that the Andy's office where this occurred, he wasn't there. What did Strzok? Did Strzok say he was there?
Strzok says he was there.
Well, somebody's lying.
Yeah.
I think everybody's lying for some reason. I don't know what the deal is.
It's obvious. It's obvious they want to get rid of our president at all costs, no matter how dirty, no matter how crooked, no matter what. They want rid of Trump. And, you know, our economy is doing so good right now.
Yeah.
So good. And so many things are doing so good right now that Why would you want to get rid of somebody like that? It doesn't make sense economically. It's all about power. It's not about money so much as it is power. You know, in your financial arena, your financial retirement plan,
mm-hmm.
we don't care who the power leader is. We want the leader. We want the money.
Mm-hmm.
We want it legal, but we want all the money we can get, and we want it locked in every year so it won't lose.
And I'm thinking what you're saying is money.
Money.
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
These folks in Washington. And, you know, this is not something that's, you know, a thing the Democrats do. I know the Republicans probably do it, too. But, yeah. You know, somebody wants something, they call them up and say, look, if you'll help us with this legislation, if you'll help push this bill,
we'll
send you a bunch of money. Oh, and, yeah, you know, that's what they do.
They bring briefcases of money in there.
Exactly.
I mean, look, all these laws and all these regulations that they have that the rest of us have to follow,
mm-hmm.
they don't follow. They hide off in a dark room somewhere, and they make deals, and, you know, there's all kinds of things uh-huh. that have gone on down through time. Well,
Ted Cruz talks about this. Mm-hmm. I'll get him up in just a couple of minutes, because he even says that. If a private citizen had done some of these things, where would they be? Under the jail.
Yeah, underneath the jail.
Bread and water and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But let's see what else.
You know, it's a shame we're letting all these folks that are supposed to be helping us, they're supposed to be our leaders, and they're cutting all these ugly, dirty deals behind the scenes so they can stay in power, so they can get what? Money. It's exactly. all about money.
Exactly. Here we go.
That is what they base their decisions on.
Thank you.
Senator Graham.
Okay. Would you say that this investigation...
Okay, I think I have actually clicked on the wrong one.
That's okay.
We have
so anyway, we'll figure that out later. None of this is normal, folks. Let's look at the actual interview itself. How many people were involved in the Clinton interview on July the 2nd?
There were, I believe, 6 or 8 people present, but 2 agents conducting the interview.
So as I understand it, there were 2 agents and 2 prosecutors.
Correct.
Okay. Now, this was an email sent in February 2016 from Page to McCabe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you've surely already considered this. But in my view, our best reason to hold the line at 2 agents and 2 prosecutors, is she might be our next president. How did you feel about that?
We were concerned about it, and we lay out here why we were concerned.
Okay, let's keep talking about this interview. One of the FBI agents in the interview said on election day mm-hmm. to another FBI agent, you should know that I'm with her. Now, her was Clinton, right?
Correct.
How do you feel about that?
Very concerned.
Okay, eventually very concerned.
I'm concerned.
Gets to be enough already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned. You know, I'm glad I don't text an email. That's one thing I'm glad I don't do. But have you ever proved a case by circumstantial evidence, Director Ray?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to write you a letter and talk about why you should reconsider your findings as to whether or not it affected the investigation. Here's what Ms. Page said on March the 4th, 2016. God, Trump is a loathsome human. How do you feel about that? I mean, she's entitled to her opinion.
I think we've laid out here why we were so concerned about it.
Well, when you add it all up,
mm-hmm.
as early as March, these people hated Trump, and this investigation was anything but by the book. And at the end of the day, what Comey did just blows me away as much as it does y'all. And I can't believe that this happened to my FBI.
There you go.
It's just a bunch of crooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear all this stuff. I had to follow all these regulations. Of course, we all should be ethical, but sometimes the regulations are just ridiculous that we have to do or follow. Because why? They just take a lot of time and effort. And you've got all this stuff. The FBI is supposed to be one of the most ethical organizations out there, like the upper crust. They're supposed to have the best people in charge that were doing these investigations. Mm-hmm. And they put people in charge that hated our president. Who did that? Who's guilty for that? But I'll tell you something that really does taste good. Not that. That tastes horrible. But we are bringing on the young Elvis to tell us what does taste good.
Now, this is his first official act in the announcing arena.
Yes, first official act.
See, he has a script, which is just, that's fine.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it.
Right.
And I think he actually came up with this.
Oh, well, even better.
I wish I had a drum roll, but we'll just, you folks at home, just hum a drum roll.
Yep.
And here he is. It's Grasshopper.
You know, anyone who says that money can't buy happiness has clearly never tried a Fucker Dolly's pizza.
Beautiful.
That's fantastic. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot more sense than that stuff I've been hearing all day long on the radio and the television and all those polluted airwaves out there. You know, we want to talk about stuff that has meaning and stuff that really means something for us. We want to talk about our money. We want to talk about our families being happy and our stomachs being full. And Focarelli's Pizza is one of the best things to put in the stomach. You know, they have the best ingredients in town all around. And tonight, I'm going to give it to you again. Between now and 7 p.m.,
yeah,
if you want 20% off of Focarelli's Pizza, just dial 244-9496 and tell them David, Ernest, and Rusty sent you and that you're supposed to get 20% off. And they will give it to you. But you got to do it before 7 p.m., before we go off the air, because then the gift is not there.
You know, if other pizza cars go by there delivering, they actually run off the road. That's how good Focarelli's is. It just runs them off the road. Yeah.
It's really good.
What else did we come up with? You can have pizza, or you can have Focarelli's. There you go.
It's really Italian.
Yes. Hey, yes. That's Italiano. That's spicy meatball.
That's real good stuff.
Now, here we go. Now, you'll like these better because Ted Cruz is...
Let's put the trivial question out there again.
Okay.
Who was the attorney that they're going to investigate for changing the document? What is his name? If you call us... Tell us, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You will get a free Focarelli's pizza. All the dough.
I wish I knew. I'd call in and get me a free Focarelli's pizza.
With all the dough.
With all that dough on it.
Cheese.
You get to go out there, and when you go in, it just smells good. They ought to charge you to come in and smell. They could make a little bit of money.
And what's the number here?
272-9228. Call now for that free Focarelli's pizza.
But all we need to know is the attorney that changed the document. The one that caused all the trouble. The one that should be in lots of trouble because he caused all this mess that's been going on for a long time. What a shame. You know, it's horrible that people do dishonest things like that. And, you know, dishonesty will eventually catch up usually. Usually will.
Yes.
And you won't. Your money to be handled in the best way, and you don't want it to go away. And that's why I use the products I use, because they're guaranteed to never go away.
Now, we mentioned the 272-9228 number. If you would like to talk to David about your finances, call him at 279-7431. Leave him a message. He will call you back.
Oh, yeah.
And sit down with you. No obligation. Absolutely free. And you may find out that this man, he's going to help you out. He's going to find out what you need to do to get things straightened out and to get on that road to financial security. 279-7431. I do believe we've got a call. It looks like Marvin's on the phone.
Marvin.
Marvin, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Hear you just fine.
Okay, I'm going to say it's Weissman.
What's his name?
Weissman.
We had it written down here. What's his first name?
Oh, geez. I know he's a Clinton attorney. I don't know his first name.
That does not sound like the one we're looking for. Hang on a minute. We're gonna have to check, and because I don't see the name on there. I don't believe that's right, Marvin. Okay. Hang on a minute. We're gonna put you back on hold, and just hang on for us, okay?
All right.
Okay, because it was something else.
Yeah, I believe it was.
He walked
out of the room.
Grasshopper Papa had it on his phone.
Yeah.
And took his phone with him.
Well,
imagine that. Took his phone with him. Well, while we're waiting for verification there.
Yes.
Check this one out. You're going to like this one now.
What I consider to be a stunning indictment.
Ted Cruz.
Of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Of a pattern of abuse of power. And I will say both the Department of Justice and FBI for decades have had a great many honorable, principled professionals with a fidelity to rule of law. And this indictment, I'm an alumnus of the Department of Justice. This pattern of facts makes me angry. And it makes anyone who expects law enforcement to be nonpartisan and faithful to the law, it should make them angry as well. Now, the press has focused on your specific conclusion that you did not find evidence of political bias. That's a judgment you have. I disagree with that judgment. But I think that judgment is, in many ways, the least significant component of this report. I think the facts that are in this report need to be understood, and they should be deeply chilling to anyone who understands the facts in this report, and then people can draw the inference as to why that pattern of abuse occurred.
Do you agree with that?
I'm sorry.
Do you agree with what he just said?
I think everybody can. The purpose of this report is to lay out the facts for the public, and everybody can debate and decide what they think of this information. I absolutely agree.
So there you go. He agrees with him. That's Ted Cruz. And let's see, we are still trying to find that name.
We had it in front of us.
We had it here just a minute ago.
And then he walked out of the room.
He walked away.
Yeah.
But I'm looking online now. I'll tell you what, we've got Marvin on hold, and he's got the best guess in so far. And we're going to, I don't know.
Well, let's just give
Papa
it.
Papa just vanished.
Let's just give it to him.
You want to give it to him?
Yeah.
All right, let's just give it to him. He's on. You got all his information? Okay, pick him back up. Tell him that he won by default, and we'll try it again later.
Yeah. And if anyone can call in and, correct it, then we correct us.
Yeah, whatever. We'll stand corrected.
We'll stand corrected, and we'll give you a complimentary Anytime Fitness Gym membership for a month.
That'll be fun.
The point is that it shouldn't have happened. Oh, here he is. We needed the name of that.
Klein Smith.
Klein Smith.
I knew it had a Klein in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say blacksmith, but I didn't know if that was right. It's a big guy with an apron on. You can't miss
that. You know, that's one of the things. When you listen to all this stuff all day long, there's so many names. And this one did this, and this one was with that one. It's amazing all the things they can remember.
It all runs together.
Well,
here's some more Ted Cruz.
All right.
So this 434-page report outlines 17 major errors and misstatements that were made by the FBI or DOJ in securing FISA warrants. A number of them are deeply, deeply troubling. These are not typos. These are not small inadvertent errors. These are grotesque abuse of power. Let's focus on a couple of them. The primary subsource. Primary subsource, and indeed the first error you note in the second, third, and fourth application for the FISA warrant is that the primary subsource reporting raised serious questions about the accuracy of the Steele dossier, which we now know was a bunch of malarkey, to use a term that's been in the news lately, and that the FISA court was not informed of that. Now, let's get specifically. So the basis of this Steele report was what's referred to in your report as the primary subsource. That was the principal basis. And the FBI interviewed that primary subsource not once, not twice, but three times in January, March, and May of 2017. So that's the basis of this dossier. What did the primary subsource say? As the OIG report says, the interviews with the primary subsource raised, quote, significant questions about the reliability of the Steele reporting. What did the subsource say specifically? As your report goes on to say, it says Steele misstated or exaggerated multiple sections of the reporting.
says that portions of it, particularly the more salacious and sexual portions, were based on, quote, rumor and speculation. It says that some of the basis of that came from conversations with, quote, friends over beers and statements that were made in, quote, jest. And the primary subsource also says to take the other subsources, quote, with a grain of salt. Now, the FBI had that information, knew that the basis of this dossier was saying it's unreliable. And what did the FBI and DOJ do? In renewal application number 2 and number 3, the FBI advised the court, quote, the FBI found the Russian-based subsource to be truthful and cooperative with zero revisions. You note that as the most significant misstatement, and that is going in front of a court of law, relying on facts that you know are unreliable without any basis. That was the number one.
Yeah. How about that? You know, the principle of this whole thing, the gut of it all, is that they needed to be honest about how they were handling things. And the principle, the gutted of it all, when you're doing an investment, is that the principle is handled properly in all ways. In other words, it can't vary. When you're doing an investment, the way I do it, your principle can never lie to you. Your principle can never go away and shame you. It's always there. It can never change. It's always true to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle of what we've been hearing today is horrible. It's wavering. It's disappointing. It's horrible to think that our government is so dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not shocked. But, you know, we might be shocked in the future if our portfolio principle, if you want to call it that, drops like a rock from something that, you know, was done about what's going on. In other words, we don't know what this is going to cause. So because we don't know if the feds are going to continue to stay dovish, you know, when they say the feds are dovish, that means that they're getting, you know, easier and fluffier and all this stuff, and interest rates are going down. Interest rates now are so low, you can't make a lot of dough, unless you take that money and you put it in the market. If you put it in the market totally, then you can make a lot of money, a lot of dough, but something might go wrong and the ingredients wouldn't be right. And then the pizza could burn up or get too much heat applied to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like Folcarelli's pizza never does. But if something goes wrong in the stock market, then your investment can burn down. What you want is something that ensures the principal, makes sure it stays honest to you. It's true blue. It cannot do you harm.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot go down. And that's the reason why I love the products that I use, because why? I don't trust. I do not trust the way things are being done. I don't trust the stock market totally. I don't trust the government totally. I don't trust if someone promises me of the world, you know, I want to have what? A written guarantee. It's just like when I buy a car. I buy this car.
Mm-hmm.
I get a written guarantee that after so many years or up to so many years, something goes wrong with the engine. Something goes wrong with the transmission. I get a new one. I don't lose my principal. I don't lose my frame that I'm, you know, the car will work, okay? I never have to worry about that. So, you know, we try to put people in office that will do the right things. And it sounds to me like, just listening, that the true blue truth sayers here are, you know, Lindsey Graham, and you know, the other Republicans that were, was it Ted Cruz? You know, they were saying some really good things, asking some really good questions. And these are the kind of things that we should ask when we invest our money. These are the kind of things we should ask when we do any kind of business deal.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the kind of things that we want. We want the truth. We want to know, will this work? We don't want to be lied to and told something that changes the whole story. Just think about it. If that attorney had not changed that document, this stuff we've been hearing the last 6 months
mm-hmm.
would not be going on.
Well, do you think what's going to happen now, and this comes out to be the new narrative, that all the Democrats are going to back up, well, it's his fault, it's not our fault.
Maybe.
I'm thinking that's what they're going to do, and they're going to try to just, oh, we're our bad, we'll just do something else. But they're talking about if this impeachment doesn't work, they're going to impeach him for something else.
So we're going to have another trivia question. And what we're going to do is say, what organization is it that can be dovish when interest rates are going down? What do they call that organization that works for our economy, tries to keep things in line?
Okay.
It's a real small word. And if you get this correct, you will get a $10 Visa card for Texas Roadhouse, and you can get a lot of peanuts. I think you can take a whole sack of peanuts home.
Oh yeah,
when you do that.
Yeah.
So if you know the federal folks that can tame inflation, or they can make inflation go up, or they can tame interest rates, or they can make them go up, and sometimes they're called doves, and sometimes they're called hawks. Give me a call. Tell me what they call this organization, and you can have a $10 off your inflation food coupon to Texas Roadhouse.
272-9228. I've got another little sound bite from Ted Cruz. He really gets after him here.
The number two major error in the applications was omitting Carter Page's prior relationship. Now, we now have evidence that Carter Page functioned as a source for a United States intelligence agents. That's a pretty darn important fact. If you're telling the FISA court, hey, the fact that this guy Carter Page, who I don't know this guy Carter Page, but the fact that he's talking to Russians, really suspicious. Well, the fact that he's serving as a source for U.S. intelligence agents is pretty darn relevant to why he's talking to Russians, because we have lots of sources that are talking to bad guys. And when you don't tell the court that, you're deceiving the court. But it's worse than just deceiving the court. Because, as the OIG report details, an assistant general counsel in the FBI altered an email. Fabricated evidence, and reading from the OIG report, specifically the words, and not a source, had been inserted into the email. That email then was sent on to the officials responsible for making the decision to go forward. And as the report said, let me read on page 256 of the OIG report, the final paragraph. Consistent with the Inspector General Act of 1978 and following OIG's discovery that the OGC attorney had altered the email that he sent to the supervising agent, who thereafter relied on it to swear out the final FISA application. So the men and women at home need to know what's happening. A lawyer at the FBI creates fraudulent evidence, alters an email, that is in turn used as the basis for a sworn statement to the court that the court relies on. Am I stating that accurately?
That's correct. That is what occurred.
Now, you have worked in law enforcement a long time. Is the pattern of a Department of Justice employee altering evidence and submitting fraudulent evidence that ultimately gets submitted to a court, is that commonplace? Is that typical?
I have not seen an alteration of an email end up impacting a court document like this.
In any ordinary.
Okay, he just decided to stop. But you see, it's obvious. All goes back to that email.
It does.
We've got folks on the phone. Is this the same Marvin we just talked to? Different Marvin? Hello, different Marvin. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right.
I know that Marvin.
You know that Marvin?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know this Marvin.
Okay. Hey, Marvin.
Well, now you had you're calling for the trivia question.
Right.
Okay. Yes. You want to?
It's the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
Is that it?
It is.
All right.
You got another. You know, I sent that one.
What'd I know?
You've already won one. You get another one.
Thanks, man.
I'm
gonna call you tomorrow anyway.
You get to accumulate them. You'll be able to take your girlfriend and yourself to the Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, that'll work.
Did he get your?
I got him.
Information.
He's got my information.
Sure, okay. I know his last name. But I ain't said it on radio.
Okay. Thanks, Marvin.
Hey, thank you, Marvin.
Thanks. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. We've got somebody on line three. It looks like Bill. Now we'll go to Bill. See what's up with him. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we got a winner already.
Okay,
but
then
we just wanted to check and see how you were doing.
Yes, fine. I'm glad you guys are hanging in there.
Well, we're hanging on.
Are you still every day?
We got a death grip on it. And as Andy Griffith said, if she don't jump, we got her.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate you.
Thank you. The reason why I brought up the Fed thing is that when long-term interest rates and short-term interest rates have a conflict, it shows up on their little graphs. And when that happens, a lot of times, they say like what I think is about 7 or 8 or 9 times out of 10, a recession is right around the corner. Well, we had this blip on the radar not too long ago, and it might happen again here pretty soon. And, you know, a lot of people are nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We do know that the economy has been in a bull, arena type situation longer now than it has ever been in the history of time that we have been recording it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I blame climate change.
Maybe it is. I don't know if it has anything to do with climate change. Maybe those people, the AOC, have caused it. I don't know what's caused it.
Something.
But I do know one thing.
What's that?
That if it ever changes, like if climate changes, if these interest rates, you know, where the long-term interest rate and the short-term interest rate are conflicting each other in a big way, we will probably have a recession. Now, how bad will it be? Who knows? It might be 2 or 3 years. It might be 6 months. But the problem is something that's lasted as long as this bull market has lasted could mean, I'm not saying it because who knows, nobody really knows. It could mean that the recession could be a lot longer and hurt a lot worse. So I hear, you know, older people holding all this, you know, mutual funds and money and stock and stuff like that. And I just think to myself, you know, wouldn't it be better if they were taking the safe route? Wouldn't it be better if they're older? I'm not talking about young people. You know, if you lose half your money when you're a young person, you can probably wait it out and, you know, it'll come
recovery,
back.
Recovery, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it might take 10 years, but, you know, it might come back. Oh, it will, or money would be worth nothing probably. But for us that are in our 60s and 70s, or even in our mid-50s or even in our early 50s, it could be a major problem if we're in the midst of this mess that could happen. Just like there's a problem right now. We have gridlock in our government.
Gridlock.
We have occasional gridlock in our economies. And then it takes off again. The problem is when a gear gets stuck, how long does it take to get that gear moving again? How long does it take to unstick it? Right now, we in our politics of things, you know, does it look like our government is being very efficient right now? Does it look like we're getting anywhere? I mean, we could be doing a lot of things right now. We could be doing a lot of things that help a lot of people. But yet, all we get is pay your taxes on time. Be sure you do that. By the way, we're looking at your IRA. We're going to send you a report at the end of the year saying we're looking at you, just like Santa Claus, you know, that elf on the shelf. We're looking at you. Are you being good? Well, you know, has Santa Claus been good? Is he going to be good to us? Is he going to bring us some gifts? Same way with the government. Y'all being good to us, you going to bring us something good? Are you just going to argue about this all the time, cause total gridlock, push us into a recession and make our portfolios go away. You know, that is just ridiculous. You know, so we have to be in defense mode if we're older. We can't trust, well, I'm just going to say it. When these young folks come in, they're going to want the taxes to go up because they're going to have to pay for all this stuff.
Exactly.
But us older people, we don't want it to happen. We've been putting in a lot of money into taxes and to Social Security. We want to get what we put in there out, mm-hmm. okay? So we got to get the goodie out. Do you want to get the goodie out of the market before it deflates? Is it going to deflate? How do you feel about it? I know how I feel about it. I say, let's get careful. Let's be careful. Let's not trust the powers to be. Let's take care of ourselves. That's what we've been doing down through time. We don't trust the government, just like we don't trust the feds. And, you know, the last trivia question was, you know, the Federal Reserve. What's that first word? Federal. What does that relate to?
The government.
The government. Do you really trust them to do what's good for you, or do you really trust them to do what's good for them?
Mm.
You see, we don't know.
Well, you want to hear one last time from Ted Cruz.
All right.
Here's Ted, and they're still talking about the email and the changing of the email. And
well, it's what caused the whole... If they had known the truth to start with, they mm-hmm. never would have stuck all their money in something that would have gone south.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying?
In any ordinary circumstance, if a private citizen did this, fabricated evidence, and by the way, what he inserted was not just slightly wrong, it was 180 degrees opposite what the evidence said. So the intelligence agency said this guy is a source, and he inserted this guy is not a source. If a private citizen did that in any law enforcement investigation, if they fabricated evidence and reversed what it said, in your experience, would that private citizen be prosecuted for fabricating evidence, be prosecuted for obstruction of justice, be prosecuted for perjury?
They certainly would be considered for that if there was an intentional effort to mm-hmm. deceive the court. On this one, I'm going to defer because, as we noted here in the sentence you indicated, we referred that over to the Attorney General and the FBI Director for handling.
Well, there you go. So I guess that's yes, maybe. I don't know. It sounded like it.
What it sounds like to me is that's... I mean, he was in the middle of, obviously, of being told to do this. Who mm-hmm. knows? You know, I'm sure that the left hand told the right hand to do it. In other words, another person that was over him told him to do something illegal, and he did it. That's my guess, and I think it's probably correct. I don't think out of his own willingness that he changed that document, you know, that email. I think that there's powers over him, and, you know, from what I heard, he's pretty powerful himself. He was a really, really up the chain kind of attorney. So someone over him in the FBI probably told him to do what he did. If they start looking at this a little closer and they start going up the chain, you know, everything goes downhill. So we caught the guy on the bottom. Who was it on the top that did it? And I know they're digging on there and trying to find it out. But essentially, it sounds to me like they're going to be running to the hills, so to speak, and not taking any blame.
Well, there you go. Well, let's take a couple of minutes just to talk about some business here.
All right.
Let's see. Tomorrow night is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have Terry Adams in the house.
He'll that's going to be good.
He'll stay along after the Greg Budell happy hour, and we'll talk conspiracies. We'll talk about some of this.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see. We're here Friday night this mm-hmm. week. So
and that's our Friday the 13th blowout.
Yes, we're going to talk about crazy.
Scary stuff.
We're going to have... grasshopper dress up like a black cat and walk under a ladder and see what happens.
Well, I thought maybe we would use Nancy Pelosi's or Elizabeth Warren's face to dress up.
This ain't that scary. Friday the 13th. I don't know. Yeah, but that's Friday. We've got the big doings coming up on the 21st. It's the Halloween. Why I did it again?
Well, it's okay. You're living in the past.
Yes, I am. We were talking about it, sort of, kind of.
Well, it's going to be the Friday the 13th, so, you know, it's okay.
Maybe that's what it is. But it's going to be our Christmas blowout.
Yeah, on
out the 21st. Out at 2754.
Mm-hmm.
Bell
Road.
At Affordable Events. Vicky out there. And, of course, we're going to be out there at the karate. I've got the name of the karate.
Yeah,
place
Brandon
right here.
Is owner of that. It's a taekwondo. I don't know exactly. Maybe he calls it taekwondo. Uh-huh. I don't know.
I've got a little thing.
But he's going to have a special thing if you come out there. Uh-huh. What he normally charges $89 for, he's only going to be charging $38. He's going to call it his 38 special. So be sure if your child wants to do karate.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Financial has set it up, and the Health and Well Show has set it up where you can get a 38 special. And I ain't talking about something to shoot them with. I'm talking about something that they will love to do, and that is kick you in the knee.
There you go. That is Tiger Rock Martial Arts Taekwondo. Yeah, go out there and see. What'd you say the gentleman's name was?
Brandon.
Brandon.
Now I'm gonna give away a little bit of a secret here.
Yeah.
He showed me some boards today that he has ordered that he's gonna let the kids learn how to hit it with their hands and it'll break the boards.
Wow.
Yes. And he's gonna show the young children how to do this. So parents, if you don't want them, you know, being able to break things, you know, I don't know.
That's a good thing to know. Say you're in a dark alley and dude runs up at you with a board, you break it in half, and he's helpless.
Okay? Yeah, I know.
But the taekwondo and the martial arts, it's good for the young people.
Oh, it's good exercise, and, you know, good
discipline and all that kind of stuff.
Something that obviously some people in our government don't have.
And something else I know is coming up next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
1 week from tonight, the lovely and talented Ellis Eskew from Channel 8 will be a guest on our show.
Yes.
For part of the show. She does not get off until 6. Okay. But she's going to come by here and hang out with us.
And I need to, I wouldn't call this an apology, but I want to let you know why we did not do Medicare 101. The young lady, the lady that was going to come, she had a relative that was sick in the hospital, and she
had to go see about
them. So she will come back, and we will talk about Medicare 101 at a near date. It won't be that far out.
Maybe
before next year.
But that's a lot of things going on. And plus, we will be taping for a new program on the Health and Wealth Show.
That's right.
And I did find out a little something about that. I did not realize this. We are on Saturday morning at 5:30.
I think they just started.
And Sunday morning at 4:30.
On CW.
On the CW, 5:30 on Saturday on ABC 32. So the Halloween show, that's probably why I've been saying that, is going to be back on again this week.
Okay.
So
On Saturday. At 5:30 a.m. So 5:30. Turn your television, or should I say your cable, on ABC.
Your DVR.
Your DVR, whatever. 5:30 a.m. on ABC Saturday morning, and you probably see the Halloween show.
Yes, you will.
Yes, and that was a fun show.
And we're going to be taping another one for the Christmas show.
Yeah.
Don't forget Santa Claus, young Elvis, older Elvis maybe. What else?
Well, you know, for one thing alone, you need to come and see young Elvis, because I'm telling you, he looks just like him. He looks just like him. And he's probably going to have the jacket. We're the leather jacket and the glasses and everything. It's going to be so cool looking. You
like
know?
Was it the 68 or 69 comeback?
68 comeback
68
special.
Comeback special.
The 69 was a good car, though.
Yeah. And you could come back in the car.
You could.
Yeah. I'm just looking up here, Maxine Waters. Speaking of Friday the 13th, it's scary looking. Bless her heart. I mean, she looks like the guy. She looks like Elijah Cummings right there.
I know it. That poor thing.
Man.
You know, we're going to get back into, I know we don't have time tonight, but we will talk more about money.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're going to have a show about money and how it grows and how it works and how it can work for you. And, you know, it's just a shame that our taxes are not getting the growth. I'm not talking about going up in taxes. I'm talking about less taxes because the money can grow. We have a problem. We have, a deficit, and we can't grow when we have a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're going to talk about negative interest rates versus, positive interest rates, and the differences and stuff. So we'll do that probably Monday or Tuesday next week.
All right. Well, you know, I've got a Christmas-type song for us to go out on.
Before we go, to give my number again.
Okay. Your number, 279-7431.
Right.
279-7431, and you can talk to David Ernest. Get your money straight. Get your money working for you.
Right.
And not for somebody else. You don't
and
want
get
that.
It where they won't tax it so bad.
That's right. And we'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night, with Terry Adams.
Conspiracy
thank you,
show.
Thank you, Grasshopper and Grasshopper Papa.
I enjoyed being here.
Hey, we're always glad to have you.
That's the Elvis voice.
Yeah,
you hear it?
Uh-huh.
Say it again.
I enjoyed being here.
Man, that was good.
Hey, that was real good.
He's going to be a heartbreaker.
I know it. Probably already is.
That's what my heart's hurting a little bit, Yoni. But we'll be back tomorrow night with more Health and Wealth with David Ernest.
I'm dressing up like Santa Claus on Christmas. As soon as I can get out on your street, your kids I'd love to meet as soon as I get out of this rat hole. And I won't mind just sliding down your chimney, 'cause I just spent 15 years of shoveling coal. So I'm dressing up like Santa Claus on Christmas as soon as I can get out on parole. Anxious to get out among the living, and I'm making up a list of folks to see. Muted up in red and white instead of these old styles. Just think of how surprised they're gonna be. The old hometown will sure be glad to see me, 'cause by now it's slipped their minds how much I stole. Dressing up like Santa Claus on Christmas, as soon as I can get out on parole. I'll play it, boys. Here till I'm 90.